You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, you should have received your Veritas by now, many of you. Maybe all of you. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, those of you who have received it now know that all is not as it should be. We're being lied to big time. Oh, and if you've got the spotlight, you're being lied to again. The Gunderson story is 100% total bullshit. We have spent the last week and a half, ladies and gentlemen, talking to explosive experts all over the country and around the world. And I don't mean the guy at the gun show who says he's an explosives expert. We have been talking to the real explosives experts. Some of them, in fact, most of them you never heard of, I guarantee you. But tonight, you're going to hear from one of the best. And what he's going to tell you is going to rock you, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, Ted Gunderson is ex-FBI. Now, I'm not telling you that he's intentionally misleading you, because I don't know if he is or not. But every explosives expert we talk to, when we pass Gunderson's so-called super-duper bomb in front of their nose, they all laugh. They said it's the funniest thing they've ever heard of. And some of the ingredients would cause it to turn to nothing but mush. If you don't believe me, seek out some explosives experts for yourself. Also, the man pictured in Soldier of Fortune magazine is not Timothy McVeigh. That's another bit of disinformation. Another crock of crap is the story that the Japanese blew up the federal building. Total bullshit. And if you were listening to Tom Valentine tonight, you heard an awful lot of it. An awful lot, folks. You see, the reason he's not mentioned in any of the reports is because he's one of them. And I've been telling you that for several years. I've exposed him over and over and over again. They don't attack their friends ever. And you never hear anything of import on that Radio Freemasonry. Not ever. 1 month you'll hear one story, the next month you'll hear a story that completely contradicts it. And they keep you spinning around chasing your tail forever. If you want to hear what's really going on, you stick with The Hour of the Time, because it's the only place you're ever going to find a direction. It's the only place where we don't contradict ourselves. It's the only place where we tell you the truth. It's the only place where if we make a mistake, we correct it. It's the only place where we don't confuse you by telling you one story 1 week and another one 3 weeks later. You get the straight scoop here, and we don't deviate. Don't go away, because what you're going to hear tonight, you need to hear, and it's going to set you straight about a lot of things. It will be published in this upcoming edition of Veritas. Republican cocaine. Who cares if Bush leaves the NRA? The NRA is where you register your guns. Didn't you know that? That old Bushy baby is one of them. Remember New World Order Bush? Remember Bush Zapata oil? Remember Bush moving drugs into the United States through the offshore oil platforms and shrimp boats? Remember Georgie Boy? What did you expect from Mr. Bush? Ice cream, maybe? Well, I got to tell you, folks, you better wake up and quit playing those games. Pass the candle under the bedspread too many times, and it'll catch on fire. Didn't your mommy tell you? Listen to this. You want credibility? You want credibility? You want reality? You want the truth? 31 years active duty in the United States Air Force. Progressively responsible executive, scientific and technical assignments directing organizations engaged in research, development, testing, analysis, requirements, generation, and acquisition management of weapons systems. Assignments from laboratory to the office of the Secretary of Defense. Personal contributions made in the fields of research and development management, weapon systems concepts, guided weapons technology, target acquisition, AIDS, focused energy weapons, operations research and joint service, harmonization of requirements, retired as a Brigadier General, United States Air Force. White House appointed special assistant to the administrator, Federal Aviation Administration. Personally designated to prepare the white paper on the Federal Aviation Administration for the 1989 presidential transition team. This included development of policy initiatives on FAA, United States Air Force Joint Use of the Global Positioning System, or GPS, operational life for commercial aircraft, anti-terrorism, airport and airway capacity, requirements in the Federal Aviation Administration acquisition process and FAA leadership and management development, military command pilot and command missileman with 4,000 hours, 37 of which are in the air in combat. Education, Bachelor of Science in Chemical Engineering, Master of Science, Aeronautical Engineering, PhD candidate, Operations Research and Statistics, academics completed, 8 quarters of Armament Engineering, AFIT. Is published in the following publications, Sino-Soviet Conflict, Competition and Cooperation, Risks in Force Structure Planning, A Reduced Upper Limit for Sequential Test Truncation Error. He's a frequent TV talk show guest and has been featured on The Voice of Freedom. His honors include Distinguished Service Medal, Legion of Merit, 3 times, Distinguished Graduate from the Air War College. In Community Affairs, he's the chairman of the United States Defense Committee, member of the board, In Touch Missions International, member of the board, Frontline Fellowship, founding chairman of the school board, Ingleside Christian School, Washington representative for the Association of Christian Schools International, 1981 to 1983, chairman, Fairfax County Republican Party, 1982 to 1986, lifelong professional challenge is the continuing studies and analysis to anticipate and forecast the future course of world military, political, economic transforming process. I'm not going to tell you his name because I don't want anybody to shut this man up. His name will be published in the next issue of Veritas, along with what you're going to hear tonight. And much more. Much more, ladies and gentlemen. He has spent 25 years in research, design, development, test, and management of weapons development. This included hands-on work at the Ballistic Research Laboratories. He was the commander of the Air Force Armament Technology Laboratory, Air Force Systems Command, Air Staff, and the Office of the Secretary of Defense, OSD, and management responsibility for almost every non-nuclear weapons device in the United States Air Force. He was also the first chairman of the OSD Joint Service Air Munitions Requirements and Development Committee. You want credibility? You want an expert? You've got one. Now I'm going to read you verbatim from his statement. Quote, "When I first saw the pictures of the truck bomb's asymmetrical damage to the federal building in Oklahoma City, my immediate reaction was that the pattern of damage would have been technically impossible without supplementing demolition charges at some of the reinforced concrete column bases, a standard demolition technique. First, blast through air is a very inefficient energy coupling mechanism against heavy reinforced concrete beams and columns. Second, blast damage potential falls off more rapidly than an inverse function of the distance cubed. That is why, in conventional weapons development, one seeks accuracy over yield for hard targets. Reinforced concrete columns in large buildings are hard targets for blasts. The entire building could have been collapsed with relatively small charges against the base of the columns and with even less explosives if linear cavity cutting charges had been used. I know of no way possible to reproduce the apparent building damage without well-placed demolition charges complementing the truck bomb damage. From published photographs, the basic building structure is four rows of 11 columns each, with the peripheral columns well inside the outside building wall. See Attachment 2. Attachment 2 will be published in this coming issue of Veritas. If we label the column rows A, B, C, and D from front to back, and number the columns 1 through 11 from left to right, then published pictures show columns A2, A3, A4, A5, A6, A7, A8, and B3 collapsed essentially vertically. If the bomb was not nearest to column A3, then the single truck bomb thesis is even a little more ridiculous. For rough estimates of relative blast impulse effectiveness, I assumed the columns were about 18 feet apart and the truck was about one-half that distance from the building, and that the peripheral columns were about one-half the column separation distance inside the outer wall. That would place the truck bomb about 18 feet from column A3. If the truck bomb collapsed column A3, certainly it should also have collapsed column A1. If the impulse pressure was, for example, 10,000 pounds per square inch at column A3, then it would be on the order of only 75 pounds per square inch at column A8. So why would column A8 come down unless there was a smaller charge at its base? Also, if the truck bomb blast brought down A5, A6, A7, and A8, it should certainly have brought down columns A1, B2, and B4. It did not. Therefore, there had to have been a supplemental charge at least at the base of columns A6, A7, and A8. If the truck bomb blast alone brought down column A8, then you would have to expect truck bomb blast to have brought down columns A1, B1, B2, B4, B5, B6, B7, C1, C2, C3, C4, C5, C6, D1, D2, D3, D4, and D5. Because the bomb was large and relatively close to the building at ground level, there would have been some enhancement in damage reach against columns and vertical lift of the ground floor ceiling as compared to the outside of the building where expansion was uninhibited, as seen by columns A5, A6, A7, and A8. Moreover, these columns and ceilings would have seen more of a side-on pressure, which would have been even less. If there had been some enhancement from a corner effect toward A6, A7, and A8, then the same enhancement would also have been toward column A1. The column stubs for columns A6, A7, and A8 should be carefully examined to verify whether or not supplemental charges were used. Since it was unofficially reported that 3 5-gallon size containers of fulminate of mercury, a booster explosive, were found in the building, it would be useful to know what columns they were near. Who profits from the Oklahoma City bombing? Since 1928, the Third International Program calls for the United States of America to be transitioned to socialism by a war of national liberation based on the oppressed nations within. Before moving from the preparatory phase to the period of escalating violence, an orthodox procedure is to 1. Seek removal of the death penalty, and 2. Disarm the public. Few things could have been more effective in moving pending draconian anti-terrorist legislation to seek to criminalize armed patriots in this country while making the job easier for the programmed war of national liberation. The gross asymmetry in the federal building damage pattern is ipso facto evidence that there was an inside bomb effort and a truck bomb effort. They need not have known each other, but it would have to have been coordinated at some level. That coordination could have been accomplished from almost any location in the world. Efforts of this magnitude and criticality are generally orchestrated by an outside team sent in for the limited purpose, in such cases, the usefulness of FBI infiltration of domestic organizations is totally circumvented. A classic example was the communist-arranged assassination of Dr. Gaitan in Colombia in 1948. However, the blame was put on the conservative government in power to precipitate violence against the government and disrupt the meeting of the Inter-American Defense Board in Bogotá. See Red Star over Cuba. The wrong people were deliberately blamed to precipitate a desired public reaction. Nothing did more to swing public opinion against assault weapons than the killings with assault weapons at Luby's, McDonald's, a schoolyard, and etc. The same goes for the Oklahoma City bombing and currently pending legislation to make support of the Second Amendment a domestic terrorism issue. Referring back to Attachment 2, I will explain why the asymmetry is so significant. The concentric circles around the truck bomb are multiples of the distance from the truck bomb to the closest columns. In effect, circle A passes through column A, which collapsed. The B circle passes through column B3, which also collapsed, but was twice as far away. The damage potential here would have been only 1/2 or 1/2 cubed or 1/8 of that in the vicinity of column A3. However, columns B2 and B4 were just beyond the B circle, and they remained standing at 1/2.25 cubed, the level of damage potential at A3. Considering the truck bomb blast alone, the distance to B circle was close to being margined to bring down a column. This presumes, of course, that there were no charges at the base of the columns. At column A8, which collapsed, the damage potential was about 1/5.12 cubed, or 1/135 of that at column A3. Similarly, the damage potential at B2, which still stands, was about 1/2.25 cubed, or 1/11.4 of that at column A3. Therefore, we have a situation where a column still stands that received 135/11.4, or 11.8 times the damage potential of a column that went down. Impossible. This is like saying a man weighing 150 pounds could sit in a flimsy chair and it would collapse. but a person weighing 11.8 times 150 pounds, or 1,770 pounds, could sit in an identical chair and it would not collapse. The May 15, 1995 Spotlight carried an article quoting an ex-high-level FBI official that the bomb was a pineapple-sized high-tech device. In my opinion, what they describe is part nonsense and part a fuel-air explosive, or FAE, device. Some large FAE devices were made to clear helicopter landing spaces in Vietnam jungles. It appears to be an obfuscation capitalizing on gullibility. The big explosion in Japan recently was an accidental fuel-air explosion. The 10-second delay between two events reported by a University of Oklahoma seismologist doesn't make sense. No triangulation was reported to assure the same point of origin. If there was a second large explosion with a 10-second delay, everyone in Oklahoma City would have discerned it. Any time delay for two-stage devices or for demolition charges at column bases would have been in milliseconds or microseconds, and would have most probably been controlled by primacord length. Most explosives detonate at about 1/4 inch per microsecond. That is about the same speed as an orbiting satellite. And ladies and gentlemen, if you think that's baloney, just listen to this. This is directly out of the Department of the Army Field Manual for Explosives and Demolitions, entitled FM5-25, published by the Headquarters Department of the Army, May 1967, available through various booksellers and through the Freedom of Information Act. In Chapter 1, and don't worry, I'm not going to tell you how to build a bomb. I'm just going to describe the effects of the bomb that they say was used. Chapter 1, Demolition Materials. Section 2, Military Explosives and Special Charges. 4, Definitions. A, Explosives. Explosives are substances that, through chemical reaction, violently change and release pressure and heat equally in all directions. Explosives are classified as low or high according to the detonating velocity or speed at which this change takes place and other pertinent characteristics. Low explosives. Low explosives deflagrate, or change from a solid to a gaseous state relatively slowly over a sustained period, up to 1,300 feet per second. This characteristic makes low explosives ideal where pushing or shoving effect is required. Examples are smokeless and black powders. High explosives. The change in this type of explosive to a gaseous state detonation occurs almost instantly, up to 28,000 feet per second, producing a shattering effect upon the target. High explosives are used where this shattering effect is required, in certain demolition charges, and in charges in mines, shells, and bombs. Ammonium nitrate can be found on page 12. The uses. Quote, having a low detonating velocity, 11,000 feet per second, and thus a low shattering power that produces a pushing or heaving effect, ammonium nitrate is used chiefly as a cratering charge. It is also effective in ditching. End quote. Now, if that doesn't make you think, I don't know what in the world will.
Wellington and Sheeple Temple was in reality a mass mind control experiment conducted by the CIA as a follow-up to something called MKUltra. They had mental checkups for everyone every day. I
political system mind controlled by the experienced thousands.
There are rising mind control experimentations going on. Control of individuals, control of groups, control of whole populations.
The new world order. The deepest commodity in the world is human beings.
Money.
They use ultrasonic to boil the brain. Boil the brain.
Pick up your phone. Pick up your phone. Pick up your phone. Dial.
Radio hypnotic
intracerebral
control.
Dial.
Electronic dissolution of memory.
Pick up your phone. Dial. 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 1-800-800-2-8-9-2-6-4-6. Pick up your phone.
Voices are broadcast directly into the brain.
Dial. One 800 289 2646. Money.
Let the knife roll.
Pick up your phone. Dial 1-800-289-2646. Do it.
I got you.
1-800-289-2646. Phones now, folks, and see who's got their copy of Veritas. We'll see who's read it. The number is 520-337-2922. That's 520-337-2922. I'd like to hear from you. If you've received your copy of Veritas, give me a call now. And if nobody calls, because maybe nobody's got a copy of their Veritas yet, then you can call too, whoever you may be. 520-337-2922 is the number. For all of you who may just be listening, that's our call-in number when we're on the air. For the rest of the 24 hours, it is our fax number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
It's a very interesting show tonight. I've been thinking about some of the things that have been happening and some of the news footage. Now, if it had actually been a fertilizer bomb like they're telling us, wouldn't there be some residue around? Or would it have all burned up?
Well, I don't really know. The explosives experts tell me, and it's been my experience, when I was a diver, we used potassium nitrate occasionally because it was easy to use underwater and stuff into strange spaces and things like that. And we used detcord and things that you could readily get and for salvage and for blowing reefs to clear channels and things like that.
But wouldn't there have been some residue? I mean, even if it had been a pasty like a...
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
Apparently, they used ammonium nitrate, which comes in a liquid form.
Mm.
And what we used was always potassium nitrate, which comes in a solid or pelletized form.
Granular?
And, yes, granular. And sometimes a bag would not blow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, see, that's the thing I've been thinking about. And I've been telling people, I said, well, now, if it's fuel oil, like with a diesel engine, it takes a pretty good amount of heat to get it started burning.
Well, I don't know the particulars of even how to make an ammonium nitrate bomb and don't really care to.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm just thinking, it's all just lies. I mean, like...
Well, it is lies. And from what I just read to you, what that bomb did was make a crater, and that's what it was supposed to do. And what you just heard from the Brigadier General, whose credentials I read to you, and whose name will be published in the next issue of Veritas, it couldn't possibly have done the damage to that building that it did, and it could not have leveled those columns at ground level. Those are steel-reinforced columns, which is called a hard target.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't just have this from him. I mean, we've been talking for the last week and a half to some of the best minds in explosives in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they all say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what they say? Bullshit.
Yeah, well, just one other thing about CBS News, Dan Rather, and they were talking about the Trilateral Commission. And he's a member of the Trilateral Commission, and oddly enough, he didn't mention that fact on the CBS News.
Of course he wouldn't.
Oh, man. I mean, when I tell people that he's part and parcel, they say, oh, you're crazy, you're a conspiracy nut. But it's obvious.
Well, they can call us whatever they want.
Yeah. Nice to talk to you, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you for calling. Oh, by the way, did you get your Veritas? Yep, he's gone. 520-337-2922 is the number. For those of you who may just be tuning in, that number is only good during the show when I am taking calls. The rest of the time, it is the fax number. We usually disconnect it about 30 minutes before broadcast time, and the fax is usually not back online until 30 minutes after the broadcast is over. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Dave in Albuquerque.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
Good.
I got my copy today.
What do you think?
It's great. I've just kind of been skimming through it. I haven't really had time to get into it seriously. When you were reading your report tonight from the guy, did I misunderstand you, or did he say that he didn't think there was a 10-second delay between the two events?
No, that's not what he said. He was talking about the theory of Ted Gunderson.
Oh, okay. And yeah. I haven't seen that.
If the bomb were what Ted Gunderson said it was, then the seismographs could not have... There would not have been a 10-second delay and all of that. And if a real explosives expert, he also says, if a real explosive expert had rigged it, he would have rigged it so that both bombs went off at the same time. But if, as he said, the case could have been that these two teams didn't know anything about each other, it's possible that there could have been a 10-second delay between the blasts.
I gotcha. Okay, well, I've shown this around. Are we allowed to copy articles? Didn't I hear you say that a few weeks ago?
You can copy everything except the symbology column. The columnist who writes that for us, Jack Sheffer, has asked us not to allow anybody to copy that particular column. It's copyrighted by him, and we print the column with his good graces and permission because he's one of the best experts in the world. You will find that within probably a year, all of that information will be compiled in book form, and it will be the first time in the history of the world that the real and true explanation of the symbology used by these creeps will be in one volume that anybody can pick up and study and learn what's been going on around them that they never knew about.
Good, I'll look forward to that. And it's okay to copy it full size. I think I remember on the first issue you said don't copy it.
No, you cannot copy it full size.
Okay.
You can copy individual articles. to pass around. You can shrink it down to small size and copy the whole paper if you want, but you cannot copy the paper full size.
Okay, gotcha.
So if we give you permission to do that, some jerk will copy it and start selling it, and if anybody does that, we're going to rake them over the coals like they've never been raked, I guarantee you.
Okay.
Too much work goes into this, and we're eating it right now.
I understand. All right, thanks, Bill.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
520-337-2922 is the number. And remember, when we're not on the air, that is our fax number. If you have information you want to send us by fax, that's the number to use. But we always disconnect it 30 minutes prior to going on the air, and the fax is not back online until about 30 minutes after we leave the air. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill?
Yes?
I got Veritas number 2, and it is awesome. I was one of the people, I guess, there was a delay in my getting the paper, and I know from listening to you talk that maybe some other people have experienced that. And, you know, I'm such a fan of what you're doing and so appreciative of the hard work that you and your wife put into it and the rest of your staff that that's okay with me, that it's taken a while. But, my God, if I don't get number 3, I'm going to slit my wrist. It is so well done. It's so professional. And what I'm really calling about is, in view of what you're saying tonight and in view of what happened at Waco, I think that we have to find a way to stop the demolition of the building in Oklahoma City, because it is indeed a crime scene.
Well, they're doing the same thing they did in Waco. They won't let anybody in. They won't let any independent investigators in. They won't let any press in to photograph those columns where they were sheared at ground level, and they're going to bulldoze that building and destroy all the evidence, just like they did in Waco. The only difference is there's no fire to burn it up.
Well, let me ask you this, Bill. Even though it's a federal building, now, if it's a federal building, is that federal property, and is it under the sole jurisdiction of the federal government, or can the sheriff say, this is a crime scene, you can't touch it?
It depends upon whether or not the state deeded and ceded the land that it's sitting on to the federal government. If they're just leasing that land, or they're leasing the building, or they bought the building but not the land, then it's not federal jurisdiction. It's only federal jurisdiction if the state ceded and deeded the land to the federal government. So that's something for the people in Oklahoma to investigate. And if you find out that it's true, then they have no right to even hold Timothy McVeigh. He would then have to be turned over to the state authorities if they find out that that is really not federal property. I don't know if it is or not. And our people have not been able to gain access to any records that would tell us, but they are looking.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, as soon as I heard you talking about this, of getting on the phone to the sheriff's department in Oklahoma and saying, hey, hold your horses, don't let anything happen there until you can determine if you can exert some type of jurisdiction over that scene, because obviously we'll never see the basis of the columns if they blow that building up like they intend to implode it, which I guess is going to happen in the next week or two.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Yes, I can imagine it.
This soon, and no independent explosives experts of any kind have been allowed in there. No photographs have been taken of the base of those columns. This is insane, and I will remind you something else. Don't expect too much from the state of Oklahoma, because the governor is an ex-FBI agent.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
That's absolutely correct.
And I also wanted to ask about some of these people that have been indicated in this, Timothy McVeigh and the Nichols brothers from Michigan. As I've watched this come down, all of the information that we get, of course, is information that is from the government, picked up by the press. We hear absolutely nothing out of these people. McVeigh, of course, was whisked off to an Air Force base immediately as soon as they picked him up. And
that's so the state could not take him into custody and take jurisdiction over him. The federal government didn't want to take any chances on losing jurisdiction of McVeigh or the Nichols brothers. So that's why.
I know that none of us really know what's going on, because we haven't heard squat. And really, the only lawyer that I would trust to say anything about any of this is Jerry Spence, and unfortunately, he's not in there. But what I'm wondering about, just from your own personal experience and looking at previous things like the Kennedy assassination, when you see somebody like McVeigh, does he look to you like someone innocently framed or a patsy who's involved like an Oswald?
I don't know. All I can tell you is what we reported in this issue of Veritas is that they said that he lived in trailer 19 in a trailer park in Kingman, Arizona, and that he was drunk and scattered beer cans all over the ground and left a wrecked car in front of the trailer and used to fire automatic weapons out into the desert. This is what he's been portrayed as on the news and on all the broadcasts and everybody. And all of these people know better. They know it's a lie. We sent our people up there, and within 10 minutes, we had the truth. He really lived in trailer number 11. Everybody there says he was quiet, well-dressed, very nice guy, never gave anybody any trouble, and he was only there for 3 months.
And I would also add that on the evening...
And he never fired anything into the desert.
On the evening network propaganda, evening news tonight, I believe ABC, they came out with some witness who said, alleged witness, who said that he knew McVeigh and that McVeigh had approached him to join some white Aryan thing, and McVeigh was wearing a swastika.
That's baloney.
I remember.
That's baloney, and I bet if you follow that supposed witness around, you'll follow him straight to the ADL.
And I know it's baloney because a couple of weeks ago, if you'll recall, there was a local newspaper editor who released some letters that Timothy McVeigh and his sister had written to the editorial column, which were articulate and intelligent and could have been written by any of us.
Yes.
And one of the things that Timothy McVeigh railed against was racism.
That's right.
And it smacks of you being called racist when you're married to Annie by Mr. Hymetown.
Not only that, but I railed against racism on this program numerous times. But our investigation shows that Timothy McVeigh was not a racist. He was against racism. He was afraid that this country was becoming like Nazi Germany.
Right, right. Well, I don't want to tie up your line. I know a lot of people are dying to talk. I think you're the greatest, and I appreciate your work so much. And I wish I could come to Arizona because I'd work for free for you.
Well, I thank you for the compliment and for the offer. I tell you, we need help around here all the time.
And don't forget my issue number 3 on Susan in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I talked to you at home a couple days ago.
Okay, Susan.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, I don't know if Timothy McVeigh did it or not. I don't know if he was a patsy or if he's crazy or if he's somebody that is an agent for the other side or what. I don't know, and neither does anybody else. And I would caution you all, if you're a real American, he's innocent until he's proven guilty. And if you've all prejudged him and he turns out to be innocent, you're going to have egg on your face. If he turns out to be guilty, he'll be punished. So, let's be Americans. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Cooper, I've asked you something here. How can I get a copy of Veritas or a subscription?
Well, if you'd like to have a subscription, you can, and I'm going to tell you, the rates are going to go up very shortly. In fact, when the fourth issue goes to press, the rates will go up. So if you want to get a subscription, get it now at the current rates.
Okay, how do I go about doing that?
Send $15 for 6 issues, or $30 for 12 issues, or $40 for 18 issues, or $50 for 24 issues, which is the best bargain. To Veritas, make checks or money orders out to Veritas and send them to P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. That's P.O. Box 3390, St. John's, Arizona, 85936. Now, issue number 3 is out, so even if you send in a subscription, you will not get issue number 3. So if you want that issue,
I need to indicate that.
Send an extra $5 and tell us that you want issue number 3.
Number 3. Incidentally, did you hear Tom Valentine tonight? He had somebody call in saying that they were having some kind of a group of people on the satellite talking about you and some guy that done some dirt stuff. I'm wondering what your feelings are about that.
Oh, you're talking about Pussy Bob.
Whoever he was, I don't know, but he said that.
He's a socialist whiner who they were taking the money that those of us who were paying for the satellite time, and they were getting free satellite time to promote their socialist ideas, and I put a stop to it and kicked them off the satellite because they weren't paying for it, and we as Americans don't believe in that socialist free ride.
Oh,
we were paying for our satellite time, and that's the true story. He's a whining little twit.
Yeah, that's the one shortcoming above all the shortwave stuff. There's so many people here opposing each other, you know, and I've been listening for about 6 months, and I've pretty much have stuck with your program, and it's the one thing that I haven't questioned a whole lot. Some of the others I've questioned from day to day about their legitimacy of what they're saying and everything, but I'm glad you're around. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Okay, the number once again is 520-337-2922. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. It's Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Governor Keating came on the air just the other night and stated that the federal building was federal property.
Well, if it is, then there's not much anybody can do about it.
Well, that's what the gov had to say about it. So there you are with that. We're collecting reports that there are many people out there, and they definitely heard two kaboom kabooms.
Okay, what we need is affidavits signed by them. If they don't want to sign an affidavit, if they can get it on tape in their voice, even if they don't want to give us their name, if they can be proven to be different voices of different people who are afraid to use their name, that will suffice. But we prefer written and signed affidavits. And you guys in Oklahoma, you've got to get us those affidavits before somebody gets in and scares those people.
Exactly. Well, we've definitely got three so far.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah. And also, the theory running around here is that, because there are a lot of people that were in buildings, like, directly across the street and, you know, a few blocks away, and they didn't even hear the explosion. All they knew was they're sitting there at their desk, and then the mass blows into their building.
That's possible.
Yeah.
You see, when people are in trauma or in shock when something happens to them, the wave would have hit first, and then the sound would have come.
Right.
So by the time that the sound came, a lot of those people would be in shock and would never remember even hearing it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Plus, that pressure wave sometimes has, and I know this from Vietnam, when explosions went off very close to me, very close to my boat, sometimes in my boat, the concussion will deafen you for a while, and you won't hear anything.
Right, right. Well, that's a report from a few people. The other theory going around is the second explosion was the truck.
It may have been. Nobody knows which went first. All we know is there was two explosions, at least two.
That's for sure.
If the general is right and there were charges placed on several of those columns, there could have been a whole bunch of explosions, but all simultaneously.
Well, yeah, and it is very hard to get around downtown Oklahoma City. There are signs up and guards everywhere, signs that says nobody can take any photographs, no entry into this building.
Now, can you imagine that? What would be the reason why they would tell somebody they couldn't take photographs after the communist news networks have taken thousands of foot of videotape and shown them all over the world?
Well, what would be the reason for the FBI to confiscate seismograph readings from the Kirkpatrick Science Center?
I know. We were lucky.
I mean,
our people are so good. We knew they were going to do that, and we got in there quick.
Yeah, I mean, how could that be evidence to prove anything against any of the suspects, a seismograph?
No. All it can do is hide stuff that they don't want the public to know.
Well, 10-4 to you, Bill. I'm getting off the phone.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
520-337-2922. Yes, folks, this is backfiring on those scum, and they are scum, and the media has totally discredited themselves. No real American will ever believe anything they hear or see on the communist news networks or in the communist print media ever again. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. I would just like to say I've been enjoying your show about the incident in Oklahoma.
You're enjoying it?
Well, this is the intelligent conversation that I'm hearing.
Oh, okay.
Because
I don't enjoy it, I'll tell you that. It saddens me to my core, especially the way they're using it against America.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the point that I wanted to make, was that it was amazing how quickly President Bill, you know, appeared on 60 Minutes with this whole...
You mean Comrade Bill?
Yes, of course.
He's over with his other comrades right now.
Right, and he's wants to... put this new legislation, you know, to take away more rights to make us safer. Yeah, it's just amazing that...
Oh, wait till you see Veritas. We have a wonderful cartoon all about safer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm planning to subscribe to that. I've been a subscriber to the Spotlight for several years, and it's really helped wake me up as to what's going on.
Well, you can throw this issue away. It's total baloney.
Oh, really?
That spotlight I'm talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, how so?
The Gunderson bomb is total crap.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the FBI guy?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard him interviewed. He sounded like he was a disinformation guy or something.
Well, that's exactly what this is. I don't know if he's doing it intentionally or whether somebody really sold him a bill of goods. And I'm not going to judge him. I'm just going to tell you that it's baloney.
Right. And I just had one other question. Do you have any information on the Illuminati? Do you plan to put anything about the Illuminati in your paper?
Are you kidding me? I wrote a whole book about all of those guys. I've done 41 hours of radio, more than that. I've done probably over 100 hours of radio broadcast just on those subjects.
Well, I just started listening to your show recently.
Well, send for an information packet, and you can get a list of the tapes and my book and all that kind of stuff. And if you're really interested in pursuing that, you can purchase those and study up, because I never go backwards.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, the spotlight, I've noticed, never talks about anything beyond the Trilaterals and the Bilderberg.
Of course not.
I wondered why they never bring up the Illuminati.
Because they're part of it. Get a book called 55-2000, Ice, the Ultimate Disaster. In there is an interview conducted by Richard Noon, who wrote that book, with Tom Valentine. And you will see that Mr. Tom Valentine is a highly degreed adept of the mysteries. Not only that, he claims Jesus had his chance. It's Lucifer's turn now.
Oh, really?
Yep. Read it.
Oh, well, I plan to. Thank you.
That's why you don't learn anything on Radio Freemasonry.
Oh, really? He's a Mason?
Oh, go.
Well, I don't know. I just...
I know, but you're a day late and a dollar short. Just, you got a lot of catching up to do.
Okay.
Go read the book.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night. Well, folks, it's about that time. I'll take one more quick call, and then we're going to Heidi Ho. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing? Great show tonight, as usual, Bill.
Thank you.
Say, what was the name of that book that you just mentioned, the last caller?
55-2000. The subtitle is Ice, the Ultimate Disaster, written by Richard K. Noon, spelled N-O-O-N-E.
Okay. One more question while I've got you. Give me your opinion of a couple of publications, like the New American, the New Federalist, the Jubilee, and Media Bypass.
Media Bypass, I think, is a conduit of a lot of disinformation. The others occasionally have some gems. They have a lot of disinformation. But here's what I recommend to people. I recommend that you read everything, listen to everybody, and learn how to put the puzzle together. And you should be assembling two puzzles just like we do here. One is the truth, one is the deception. You cannot live without knowing what these two things are. In the middle, you put a box with a question mark on it. And anything that won't fit into the truth puzzle or the deception puzzle goes into that box until you find out where it goes. And sometimes it just goes in the trash.
Great advice. By the way, I met you when you had your Kansas City thing when you were up here, and it was great visiting with you, and really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, folks, good night, and God bless each and every single one of you, and God save the Republic.
I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up this mountain. I've looked over. I've seen. We'll be right back.
the needle down. Put there by G-Man, he had to see where I was coming from. Television news makes me laugh right out loud. Big gay man, you're just a killer clown. Rest in heaven. Don't put a hole in my head. Rest in heaven.